Mark 1:40-45. New International Reader's Version. Jesus heals a man who has a skin disease. A man who had a skin disease came to Jesus. On his knees, he begged Jesus. He said, "If you are willing to make me clean, you can do it." Jesus became angry. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing to do it," he said. "Be clean." Right away, the disease left the man, and he was clean. Jesus said to send him away at once and gave the man a strong warning. "Don't tell this to anyone," he said. "Go show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded. It will be a witness to the priest and the people that you are clean." But the man went out and started talking straight away. He spread the news to everyone. Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He stayed outside in lonely places. But people still came to him from everywhere.
Thanks, Esther. Now, Elena has a reading.
One of the people at the table with Jesus heard him say those things. So he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in God's kingdom." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet. He invited many guests. Then the day of the banquet arrived. He sent his servants to those who had been invited. The servant told them, 'Come, everything is ready now.' But they all had the same idea. They began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I have just bought a field. I have to go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another one said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servants came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. He ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the town. Bring in those who are poor. Also bring those who can't see or walk.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what are you ordering has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servants, 'Go back out to the roads, go out to the country lanes, make the people come in. I want my house to be full. I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will get to taste my banquet.'"
Thanks, Elena. And that was from Luke 14. And Eddie.
Once again, Jesus went out beside the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd came to him. He began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus. Levi was sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me," Jesus told him. Levi got up and followed him. Later, Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. They were part of the large crowd following Jesus. Some teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, were there. They saw Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors, so they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard that, so he said to them, "Those who are healthy don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not come to get those who think they are right with God to follow me. I have come to get sinners to follow me."
Awesome. Thanks, Eddie. Yep. Firstly, I'd like to say I'm thankful to Helen for exploring the political angle on the story of the call of Levi a few weeks back, and for the discussion that resulted from Helen's sermon. Today, we're going to explore the same passage that Helen talked about in Luke 5, 27 to 32, from a different perspective. We will look at Mark's version of the same event in Mark 2, 13 to 17, and see what we can discover. We're going to watch a short video animation of the call of Levi. Just before we do that, I've got some cartoons here, which have some of the words have been blanked out. There's seven gaps. So I might just ask if someone can pass these around the tables. And that's something to keep people interested as we go along. Thank you.
Verse 13 to 17, the calling of Levi. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
See if my slides are working. Yes. I wonder how many of you have ever been in a mirror maze. Anybody? As you turn around a corner, you see your reflection looking back at you from many different angles, and it can feel a bit confusing. Reading the Bible might feel a bit like this at times. The Gospel of Mark uses a chiastic structure where stories are put alongside one another with the idea that one story will shed light on another story. So looking at what is happening before, after, or around the call of Levi might give us some clues about what is happening in the story of the call of Levi. We can also think about similar stories in the Old Testament which may shed more light or help us to see something from a different angle. Earlier in the book of Mark, Jesus calls his first disciples and heals many people. Then Jesus heals a man with leprosy, as we heard. Later on, when the Pharisees ask Jesus why he is feasting instead of fasting, he answers them by identifying himself as the bridegroom at a wedding feast, as we heard from Elena. We have already heard Jesus' parable about a wedding feast this morning. In a Jewish wedding in these times, it was the father who hosted the banquet on behalf of his son, the bridegroom, bearing all the costs. The father would even provide clothes for the guests to wear. The wedding celebrations could last for more than a week, with lots of reclining together at the table, eating, drinking, and socializing. First, I'd like to set the scene for you to help us understand when and where Jesus' call of Levi takes place. After this, we'll look at the postures of people involved in the story to see if this gives us any clues to the meaning behind the story. We will hear an Old Testament story which reveals God's heart for healing and acceptance of an outsider. Hopefully, we will find our way through the mirror maze and see Jesus' identity and our own identity revealed more clearly as a result. To set the scene, the call of Levi falls within the Galilean section of Mark's Gospel, which examines questions of Jesus' authority and his identity. So you can imagine that this takes place beside the Sea of Galilee. You can see the city of Capernaum on this map. At the time of Levi's call by Jesus, Jerusalem is under Roman occupation. We can assume that this happened before AD 70, when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, as this detail is not mentioned in the text and would have been important to the audience. The fishing trade flourished in Capernaum, and Capernaum was also an important trading route. Now let's look at Levi. Levi is a Jewish man, as revealed by his name. He's working for the Romans, collecting taxes, which means that he would have been seen as a traitor by his people. Tax collectors had a reputation for taking more than they needed to add to their own wealth. Levi's toll collection probably came mainly from the fishing trade. Therefore, he was probably well known and despised by Jesus' existing disciples, Simon and Andrew, who were fishermen. So Jesus' call to Levi is quite shocking. Jesus is calling a despised tax collector, potentially a greedy man, a traitor, an enemy of the Jewish people, to be his disciple. There is some dispute by scholars over who Levi, the son of Alphaeus, actually is. Some scholars have identified him as the brother of James, and others have identified him as the disciple Matthew, who is also called Levi. But the real focus of this passage seems to be about Jesus' identity and who Jesus is. Now let's look at the postures of Jesus, Levi, the disciples, and the Pharisees. I came across this artwork at our staff retreat at it the other weekend. We see that Jesus is in an active posture when he sees Levi. He's walking along beside the Sea of Galilee with large crowds following him. Levi is in a passive posture, sitting at his tax collector's booth. When Jesus calls Levi to follow him, we see that Levi rose up to follow Jesus. This word for rising up is anastemi in Greek and is a powerful word. This is the same word used for Jesus' resurrection and also for the calling of each of Jesus' other disciples. It means to raise up, to cause to be born, to cause to appear or to bring forward. Levi leaves his tax booth in the same manner that Simon and Andrew have left behind their fishing nets. Each of the disciples leaves their livelihoods behind, or they have left their livelihoods behind. However, Levi has left wealth and privilege behind that the fishermen did not possess. After this, there's a celebratory meal at Levi's house. In ancient times, to eat with someone often meant to be identified with them, to accept them, and to be reconciled to them. What is the posture of the disciples and the others at the meal? They recline with Jesus. The meal is intimate and relaxed. It is likely that there were more people at the meal than this picture shows. In the passage, it states that many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. They were part of the large crowd following Jesus. So rather than just one tax collector, as shown in this picture, wearing the brown clothing maybe, there would have been many tax collectors feasting with Jesus and his disciples at this meal. Jesus appears not to require repentance in advance of having table fellowship with sinners and tax collectors. The Pharisees ask the disciples why Jesus is eating with sinners and tax collectors. In their words, why does he eat with such scum? That's in the New Living Translation. The disciples are differentiated from the sinners and tax collectors. The sinners and tax collectors are seen as prospective disciples. We've looked at the posture of Jesus, the posture of Levi, and the posture of the disciples and prospective disciples around the meal. How about the Pharisees? What is their posture? This is Mark's first reference to the Pharisees, who are a group of scribes and sages of the Jewish law. The word Pharisee means one who is separated. We know that the Pharisees scrupulously followed rules about food and hygiene and separated themselves from the Gentiles and even from other Jews who weren't religious. The sad result of this is that they could not be part of the intimacy of the meal with Jesus and his friends. Despite their best efforts, they were separated from God. They stand at a distance as onlookers asking questions. The Pharisees expect Jesus to act in the same exclusive manner as they do and question him when he doesn't. As time goes on, it seems like Jesus is moving in the opposite direction to them in regard to holiness. He seems to be undoing what they're trying to do, and their opposition towards him grows. Now that we've seen the posture of Jesus, Levi, the disciples, the prospective disciples, and the Pharisees, let's look at Jesus' pronouncement about his identity, which arises in answer to the Pharisees' questions. Jesus states that those who are healthy don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have not come to get those who think they are right with God to follow me. I've come to get sinners to follow me. Jesus' mention of the sick needing a doctor reminds us of the way he has healed those who were sick, most recently the man with leprosy in Mark 1:40-45. Aside from the pain of the disease itself, those with leprosy experienced social isolation and they were excluded from worship at the temple. Jesus was willing to go against the social, cultural, and religious rules of his day to touch the man with leprosy. This echoes the Old Testament story of Naaman's healing from leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to tell you a bit of a story about Naaman now, as I think it will highlight something for us about who Jesus is. Naaman was a brave and well-respected army commander in Aram or Syria. Naaman's wife had a servant or slave girl from Israel who had been captured in one of their raids. The slave girl said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria." Does anyone know who the prophet was at that time? Esther? You're close. Yeah, Elisha. Yep. So Naaman went to the king of Aram and asked him for permission to travel to Israel to be healed of his leprosy. The king of Aram sent a letter to the king of Israel to ask that Naaman be cured of his leprosy. So King Jehoram was very upset and tore his robes, saying, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." But Elisha the prophet sent a message to King Jehoram and instructed Naaman to come to his house. When Naaman came to Elisha's house, Elisha did not even come to the door, but instead sent a messenger to tell Naaman to wash 7 times in the Jordan River so that he would be healed. Perhaps Elisha didn't want to become unclean himself by having contact with someone with leprosy, and that's why he sent a messenger rather than meeting with Naaman personally. We don't know. You can imagine that this was a very humbling experience for Naaman, and he was angry at first. But eventually, after being persuaded by his servants, he washed himself 7 times in the Jordan River as he had been instructed and was healed from his leprosy. So Naaman, who was technically an outsider from the Jewish people, was healed by God. However, things weren't perfect. Naaman tried to offer a gift to Elisha in payment for his healing, but Elisha wouldn't accept it. Naaman chose to worship God instead. But then Elisha's servant Gehazi followed Naaman and asked him for a gift of money and clothing, which Naaman gave him. Gehazi didn't tell Elisha what he had done, but God revealed this to Elisha, and Elisha told Gehazi that Naaman's leprosy would cling to him and his servants forever. Back to Jesus. In reaching out to touch the man with leprosy, Jesus shows us God the Father's heart of love, healing, and welcome for an outsider. We see that Jesus' focus is very different from the introspective focus of the Pharisees. Jesus does not build walls of separation, but rather he brings grace and transformation. He shows us an attractive and inclusive picture of God's kingdom. We also remember that God the Father extended healing to Naaman, an outsider to the Jewish people. God's judgment did not come upon Naaman, an outsider, but upon Elisha's servant for trying to gain financially from Naaman's healing. Therefore, Jesus is not doing something which is incongruous with his Father God's approach, but rather he's revealing more of God's Father heart to us by his action in healing the man with leprosy. Well, we've come to the end of the mirror maze, and we see that Jesus is very clear about his identity and his focus in life. I wonder where you see yourself in this story. Do you identify with one of the characters, with Levi, with Jesus, with the disciples, prospective disciples, or Pharisees? What is your posture as you think about the story? Are you walking by the sea with Jesus or sitting down at the tax booth with Levi? Perhaps you're rising up as Levi did to follow the call of Christ in a new way. Or do you stand from a distance as the Pharisees did and ask questions? Jesus did not leave the Pharisees' questions unanswered, and we can trust him with our questions too. So as we move into our question time and discussion time around our tables, I'd just like to leave you with this painting by Jill Dobinson. Because I love this painting. I love the way it shows Jesus in an active and welcoming posture beside the sea, as we've talked about today. So we can reflect on that as well as we're having our questions around the tables. And the questions are just up on the screen here. Thank you. I'll bring some snacks for you.